just need one more sing that slash song, so I'll just do the doxology.
Oh, I like it. Actually, I'll probably leave before then. I'm probably going to leave right after sermon. So, hey, Noah, catch this. So, kiddos, you're going to be able to leave here in just a second. I want you to stay for just one little second, okay? Because this is what I would hope you would do next week. And if I had thought about it, I would have still had some of these for you to color this week. Thank you very much, sir. But this tree here is probably unlike any Christmas tree you've ever had before. What do you think? Do you have a Christmas tree like this typically at your house? No. I mean, January 1st, okay. Yeah. After the fire happens because you didn't put enough water in it. Yeah. Looks exactly like that. This is bad enough to where when I was walking in, Gary, who's the we have three different janitors that are here. Gary's the one who's usually here. And Gary's like, Robert, are y'all trying to do Charlie Brown? And what I thought was, no, Charlie Brown's tree didn't have this many branches. So, guys, the whole point is, do you know how the families that you are a part of, and not necessarily the family you came from, but the family that you are a part of. Like, we had a kid who lived with us for a while, and he began to have some of our traditions. We all have certain traditions, and it becomes a part of who you are. Even if it's not your DNA, it kind of becomes a part of your social DNA. That's why parents are so, good parents are so amazing. And it's somewhat why bad parents are so sad. Because who we are, it's not just our physical DNA, but it's the DNA of all of the experiences we have, good and bad. And one of the things I love about a Jesse tree is it points out, again, Jesus was not just some sudden thing that happened. He was God's plan from the very beginning. So we're going to start with the very beginning. What does that look like to you? Please say the right thing because I made this. Earth, yes, good. Because I made that right there, and it was very important to me. That's supposed to be South America, which kind of definitely developed a little bit of a teardrop look to it. There's a little bit of wind wear that has happened. And I thought, I want mine to be special. I'm not just going to color. Now, parents, there's nothing against you guys who just color on that, but I am not the parent of a four-year-old, so I should, in theory, have a little more time. I am not the caretaker of a two-year-old. I can do a little more, and then my wife goes and shows me up by embroidering hers. Now, here's the reason I hang this up here. It's very important for us to remember that God created the world. That we are not just the result of happenstance. That this whole process started by God saying, I want there to be this. And then he made it and he called it good. And then he wanted something else and he made it and he called it good. And eventually he reached a point where he made you and I. And do you know what he said then? He didn't say we were good. He said all of creation was something else. Good is one part of the word, and there's another word. Does anybody know? If I say something's really big, there's another way I could say that. Very big. So God said it was very good. So as we start off remembering Advent, we're going to start off by remembering who created the world? Yeah. All right. Kiddos, you can go do your nursery thing now. And we're going to talk about this because this is, I think, one of the most valuable lessons we can get. And it's not about how he created, it's about the fact that he created. So we're not going down that rabbit hole today, okay? We are instead going down the very important rabbit hole of God being creator. If you've been here when we've used the Apostles' Creed, which is basically anytime we do a baptism, we use the Apostles' Creed. It says, I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth. It's one of our initial core beliefs is that God creates. Because when God creates, suddenly what we are and what happens around us matters because we are the byproduct of God. So if you would, turn in your Bibles or turn to the bulletin, and the print's a little smaller today because of the fact that there's a lot of scripture. We're going to read the entire first chapter of Genesis and then three verses into the second. This is what the word of the Lord says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. So God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered at one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault, or let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the earth in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished his work, the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now, before we talk about God as creator, I want to talk about something I think relates at least to this theme that's passionate for me, at least. This is Gail Wise. Gail bought the very first Mustang ever sold. Not because she's rich, but because she got lucky and a salesman didn't know that he was not supposed to sell that car. Gail was a teacher. She was an elementary school teacher that was a single lady at the time. All the single ladies. She was a single lady at the time, and she went in, and she needed a car because she had just started her new job, and she went in to buy one, and she didn't like any of the cars, and she said she wanted a convertible. And the salesman, on a Wednesday, when he was not supposed to start selling this car until Friday, said, "I've got something to show you." And he took her back into whatever the back of a showroom is in a car place and took off the tarp that was covering it. And she said, "I want that." And it is the first ever Mustang that sold. Up until 2 years ago, they thought another car was the first ever Mustang sold. Because this car, right here, had been sitting in a garage for almost 30 years. It was serving the wonderful purpose of acting as a table to hold their seats that they would carry with them to picnics. Why'd you laugh? Why is it funny, though? I'm not asking in a bad way. I think you're laughing for the point I want to get to.
Because they don't... Yep.
Because... you're not supposed to have what may be possibly the most valuable Mustang. There are a few very well-known Mustangs that are out there. There's a couple of Mustangs that are actually before this that were not sold that were test models, and there's one now. It's just a beat-up piece of junk, and they speculate that the body may be worth $1 million, okay? But you don't think that this car, if I remember right, this is worth approximately $1.2 million. Is going to be sitting in a garage, and this is not even like a nice little, hey, I store my car for the winter. This was a detached garage where they threw all their junk. You don't expect it to be the table where, you know, you throw your card table on top of that. And by the way, those chairs that we have to go to jazz in the park, we'll just put that on top of that. It's not what you expect it to do. Its purpose was not to act as a pseudo table. They found out, because they heard the story eventually of the car, that there was a car that was sold on Thursday also. And they were realizing, wow, we bought ours on Wednesday. And thankfully, her husband's a pack rat, and he was not married to her when she bought the car, but he saved all her stuff. They were able to track down the receipt and such and verify that it was the first ever one sold. And suddenly Ford was like, yeah, we're about to have, well, I don't know if you can see it or not, right there. This summer, they built the 10 millionth Mustang that had ever been built, and they wanted her and her Mustang to be there as the star of the show so that they would have the first one that was sold and the last one, or not last one, the latest one, the 10 millionth sold that was there. Guess she was the hero of this whole place. And for 30 years, she'd been wandering around with this incredibly valuable car in a shed in the back of her yard. Think of all the things that we know are built for other purposes that we just have laying around. You probably have something in your house that you're like, I know it's not for that, but I'm going to use it for this anyhow. You probably have some piece of junk. All right, so Eric doesn't know this. He's about to know this. I have a piece of junk that's from your house over here, wherever that was. Do you remember the road that you lived on? The duplex, yes. Me and Pete remember it. You don't remember it. This is your house. So I have this thing. He's never getting it back. It's an old cobbler shoehorn bench thing. You were using it as a boat anchor. It's awesome. And it's in my garage, and you're never getting it back, ever. I am being nice. Because you're not supposed to use a really cool piece of tools, as a boat anchor. You need to know, my mom always chooses whoever's side is opposed to me. Pam's been winning every argument since she moved up here. Driving me nuts. Just think of the stuff you have. It was built for one purpose. We use it for something else. And that's not a bad thing always, okay? I mean, it's a piece of metal that just has like a foot thing on the end. It's really cool looking. I'm using it truthfully as a bit of a doorstop. That's about it, okay? It's really cool looking. That's not the end of the world. But you were created by God. You were created by God. He put himself into you. He made you in his image. And we walk around as though we don't have purpose. Here's the scripture again, okay? Then God said, let us make mankind in our image. It's this tone of deliberation. He's talking amongst himself. And the reason I say that is as the Trinity, God can have a conversation with himself. He's considering and he's saying, I want to make this creation to be like me. Not to be me, but to be like me, to bear my image. When people, when others look at this creation, they should see me. First chapter of Genesis has all this fun speculation. Okay, sometimes we get caught on some weird things. I'll be completely honest. As I want you to believe God as creator. How you believe he creates is not that important to me, okay? I know lots of people who hold lots of different theories. I'll gladly discuss mine with you. I had a professor who held to what was known as, it would be theistic evolution. You used evolutionary processes, but it was God-ordained. I know plenty of people who are seven-day creations. I know people who have what's called age-day theory. If you want a really interesting one, look at the beginning of the beginning of the chapter, and it says the earth was formless and void, and there's what's called the gap theory, and basically the gap theory is this mindset that God would not create it formless and void, so there must have been a creation before that. People come up with lots of different arguments on this, but there's lots of other arguments that happen in the first chapter, and one of them is, who's God talking to there? See, there's three basic theories. One of those is, if you're Jewish, you say that he is using one of two things. Either he is using the royal we. Does anybody know what the royal we is? I see some head shakes. Somebody want to tell me what the royal we is? I heard somebody, didn't I? Okay. My favorite line of this is, I don't know that she ever said it, but Queen Victoria of England is known for having saying, we are not amused. I don't know if she actually ever said that, but I would love for you guys to walk around this week going, we are not amused. And the whole point is that when a king or queen speaks, they speak on behalf of the nation, so you never say, I am not amused. You speak on the behalf of the nation, so it's we. So one of the theories is that God is using the royal we, so let us. The other is he's talking to the angels. I think both of those are bonkers. Most Christian theologians think both of those are bonkers. And the reason they do is we don't experience God using the royal we at other times. He is king. He describes himself as king, but he doesn't use the royal we, and it was not an ancient Near Eastern custom to use the royal we. And the other thing is, well, the angels are created beings. God is not a created being, so their image would be entirely different. So it makes no sense to say, let us make him like our image. It'd be like me going, hey, let's make this person like me and Drew. Well, me and Drew look very different. He's got sunglasses on his head. I have no hair. I mean, that's an entirely different spectrum right there. Christian theologians come down to this is the earliest symbol we have of the Trinity. That God is three and is one at the exact same moment. That's why, personally, I believe that when he is saying, let us make mankind in our image, it's a Trinitarian statement. God is a friendship. God is love in and of himself. He is the Father loving the Son loving the Spirit loving the Father. Millers, I feel like I always bring you up here for this. I'm not going to do it right now. That's my Christmas gift to you guys, okay? Because it's this just continual relationship that goes on and on and on to the point that they are joined together and they are one. And God says, let us make mankind in our image. We have this purpose that we are supposed to be about, that we are supposed to bear the image of the Trinitarian God, and we are supposed to bear that in a situation where we are related to God, we are related to each other, and we are related to creation. It's a purpose that's there. It's a mindset that should direct the way we do things. When you have a purpose, it changes everything you do. You ever had a day off and had nothing to do whatsoever? And I know some of you are like, that would be wonderful. Pam used to always laugh. I got sick every time after finals in college. It would be just like clockwork. I would go through finals. I would work and work and work, and I'd stress myself out. And then the second that finals was over, I would get sick, and then I would get a little depressed. Because I went from, I knew what I was doing every second of the day. I had purpose. I need to read this book. I need to write this paper. I need to do this, this, and this. And I would go from that to, what do I do now? I hated that time period. I still hate it, okay? If I have a day off and Pam says, well, so what did you do today? I feel like I should report to her, because if I go, I did nothing, she's going to be thrilled and be like, that's awesome. And I'm going to go, what a day wasted. We were created for purpose. It's why if you feel like you have nothing, it starts to beat down on you. When you have a task, you get excited about it. We love being able to do things. And part of that purpose is also the fact that because God created us, that gives us purpose. It gives us meaning. But we walk around like we are useless. You have friends, you have family that walk around and they just go, Think of how often we just apologize for so much of our life. I'm sorry my house is not clean enough. I could have done better on this food. I'm sorry my car's not clean right now. We just walk around like poor, pathetic little beings, but we were created by God. You have the fingerprints of the Most High on you. You are wondrous beings. That's why that Jesse tree ornament is so important. The beginning of the gospel is not you have sinned, even though we have. The beginning of the gospel was you were meant for a relationship with God. You were meant to live in a place where He walked with us daily. You were meant to be loved and to love God. Next week, we're going to talk about how that's fallen, how that's changed. But for there to be a fall, you have to start off from a high spot. We don't call falling when you're already on the ground a fall. It might be a trip, but really, if you're already on the ground, we just call it rolling. Guys, here's what I hope you know this Christmas. Here's what I hope you know this Advent. You were loved. You were chosen. You were special. I know there are times where we don't feel like it. There are times where you feel down. There are times where you feel like, I'm not sure I'm adding anything. You're still loved. You're still chosen. You're still special. It doesn't matter what you do. It matters whose you are. So when Pam and I got married, we were given a little bit of china, and then we asked people to bring that up. Truthfully, in my opinion, one of the better things that has happened in marriages is that you don't go after china anymore. I think it's great. What, Pete?
We went from China to Chinette.
China to Chinette. There we go. The china we had or have, I would have never wanted it. We just got it. Realistically, her mother didn't finish her china. I was like, well, maybe you can. So it took two marriages, but you know, finally we got it done.
What? I have no idea what china is.
China? You don't know what china is? Their marriage, they got a little bit of china. Our marriage, we finished it up.
So like a set of...
Yeah. I'm sorry. We have a lot of sets, but Eric, you're never going to be invited to eat on them. Here's the reason I tell you this story. Not because the china is important, but because we use it to signify something special. We eat on it all the time. Noah's eaten on it lots and lots of times. Okay, first day of school, you eat on the china. Your birthday, you eat on the china. Thanksgiving, we ate on the china. My mom was eating on the china this Thanksgiving meal. Boop, smoked turkey that is just there for smoked turkey leftover sandwiches. Boop, on the china. Because we recognize that when we use that china, it becomes special no matter what the meal is. It doesn't matter what you do. The second you do it, it's special because you belong to God. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't do stuff. It doesn't mean that part of that purpose isn't a mission. But it does mean that your mission isn't what makes you special. The word that's used in Scripture for that again and again is holy. Holy, it means that we are set apart. We belong to another. You're no longer fit for common use. Not because you're special in and of yourself, but because of the fact that you belong to God. There are things all of us have that are special just because they're ours. This Christmas, remember, you are special because God created you. He loves you for who you are. We're going to talk about the fall, but it always begins with the fact that God created us and therefore we have purpose. So before I end and pray, does anybody have anything to add? Okay, to join me in prayer then. Father, help us to remember that you created us, that your fingerprints are all over us. And when we doubt that we're worth anything, remind us that you think we are. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.